start here, so praise God. All right, good to see everybody this evening. Good things coming. Sometimes we get asked questions right before we go live. Let me turn this music off there, praise God. All right, there we go. So, yeah, a little worship music, get us rolling here. So, class 25, it's good to see everybody. Let me get myself on screen here for those watching online. So the Bible is a book of creation. The Bible is not a book of creation. It's a book of redemption. We have very little in the Bible concerning creation. For example, the Bible says, "And he made the stars also." And I mean, do you have any idea how many gazillions, and I mean if that's a number, but that's even not a big enough number if it is a number, of stars that there are out there? There's all kinds of things, questions that we have that the Bible just simply doesn't necessarily answer concerning, like, I say it doesn't answer. Don't get me started. How about that? The bottom line of it is this. We'll either believe God based upon what we have or we won't. Does that make sense? And part of it is, the Bible says the way of a man's not found within him. Meaning, we're alive and well, but the instructions that we need for life and living, we got to get from our Creator. We were created to be dependent upon Him and to trust Him. And so, some people get very frustrated at me. I am not a young earth guy. I believe the earth is very old. I believe Adam and Eve and all that was however many thousand years ago. But just as there will be a purpose for the earth after the one we're currently in the midst of right now, I believe there was a purpose for the earth before. And biblically, where Genesis begins, the Bible says that the earth was without form and void, meaning that it was in chaos. God did not create the earth in chaos. Are you following me? Okay. And the Bible is clear about that he didn't create it that way, that obviously something very catastrophic happened that brought it to that point. And then God started over with Adam and Eve. And uniquely so, as the Lord helps me always do it, we'll bring it back around. This time when he created beings on the planet Earth, he did it unlike any other way he had ever done it before. This time he created them in his image and his likeness. Okay, so we'll talk about that some tonight. Amen. How about it, everybody? So Sister and I were having a conversation before class started, and so I wasn't wanting to leave her hanging and everybody else hanging and finishing that thought, or else it'd just kind of be tipping away in the back of my head, the whole time. So is everybody good? Y'all are looking good, man. Y'all looking fresh. Everybody blessed? If there was some kind of prize being given, these ladies are showing you guys up. Amen. But praise God. Invite somebody to come to class with you. Amen. If it's helping you, if you think it'll be a benefit to them, if it's helping you, it'll help anybody, right? Amen. But let's pray and we'll get to it. Father, thank you for this time together this evening. Man, you've got some important things to say to us tonight, Father, and I thank you for helping us hear them, receive them, but Lord, most importantly, not choke on these things, but understand them by faith. You said in your word, by faith we understand, which means, Father, we understand it by believing it's true because you are a faithful God and every word you speak is true. So, Lord, I thank you tonight that we're going to grow leaps and bounds tonight, Father. You're going to set us free with your truth in ways, Father, that we've never experienced freedom. And we thank you, Father, that not only are you helping us and not only are we benefiting from these classes, but, Father, you're equipping us to be more effective in sharing your truth with other people. And so, Father, I thank you for helping us, for revealing your understanding, your wisdom to us by your Holy Spirit tonight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen,
amen, amen. And then, as we like to say, amen again. All right, so class tonight is number 25. Class number 25, and we started on it last week. We're going to really dive into it this week. And the title of the class is Three Questions. And speaking of those three questions, this is how we worked our way through them last week. And that's not a mistake in the way they're numbered there, okay? Why am I corresponds with purpose. Who am I corresponds with our identity. What am I corresponds with our origin, okay? Now, the sweet spot of life is knowing why you are, knowing why you exist. Sweet spot of life is knowing why God created you and what He created you for, and to be in the middle of doing that and participating in that, okay? But remember, you'll never know why you are until you know who you are. And you'll never understand who you are until you know what you are. And unless and until you understand what you are and who you are, why you are, will always seem too much for you. It'll always seem too big for you. And we used the example last week in the verses out of Isaiah where the Bible says truth is built into our lives line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And we compared that to a mason laying brick. And you have to lay rows 1 through 7 before you can lay row 8. And then we looked at other places in the scripture. For example, Jesus said to his disciples before he left them, he said, there's still so many more things I have to tell you, but you can't bear them right now. Meaning that there wasn't understanding in place in their lives for the next thing he wanted to teach them to rest upon. Now, listen very carefully, because this is key to our growth and development, right? What God is wanting to show you and teach you and do in you and through you now is to both benefit you now, but also to position you and prepare you for what He wants to show you, teach you, do in you, do with you, do through you next. Does that make sense? So what we're hearing and what we're learning now is important, but it's not the end. Amen. But it's positioning us and preparing us for what Father God wants to do in and with and through us next, okay? Are you with me? So that's very, very important. And a lot of times we try to get ahead of God, you know, and we catch a little wind of something and we take off after it without the understanding of it. And sometimes, you know, that's where people get frustrated and disillusioned with God. You know, I tried all that stuff and it didn't work. Well, you know, maybe you were trying to run before you can walk and walk before you can crawl. Amen. And so there's nothing wrong with being as a spiritual baby, okay? What is wrong is staying that way for 40 years, amen? And we don't have to, praise God. All right, so a few things that we said last week, we'll just review. You'll never understand why you are until you understand who you are, and you'll never understand who you are until you understand what you are. Now, let me say this before we dig into some scriptures, and I was trying to think last week of a better way of communicating this. And so let me just say it. All right. Before I say that, let me say this, okay? We're going to get into some strong stuff tonight. Amen. Okay? I wish I could tell you every person that I've had the privilege and honor of explaining these things to grabbed hold of them and took off running with them, okay? Some folks, rather than, you know, grabbing hold of those things and taking off running with them, they just took off, left. Are you hearing me? Okay. My dear brother Donald Ballard, he went to speak at a church one time, and the pastor that introduced him said, "You know, brother Donald's with us tonight, and you know he's kind of controversial." Well, there's a difference between controversial and confrontational. Truth is not controversial. It's forever established, forever written, okay? What makes it feel confrontational is when what we've believed our whole life that's not true is confronted by what God says is true. And at this point, we're going to do one of two things. We're going to look into that mirror long and hard, and we're going to say, you know what, God, I've never seen this before, but it's right here as plain as the nose on my face in a natural mirror. And so I'm gonna lean into this, and I'm gonna ask you to help me. And I'm not gonna run from it. Okay. Let me say it another way. The Word of God is like food, and I'm a chef, In other words, I've prepared a spiritual meal for you tonight that I want to serve to you, okay? Don't choke on it. Now, some of this you may have to chew on extra long. But don't choke on it and don't spit it out before you taste and see that God is good, right? I've had a lot of people over the years, they say stuff, you know, Pastor Mark, I just don't believe that, you know. Well, maybe what you believe is your problem. Are you following me? Because we know, you hear me say this all the time, we know that we have to live by truth if we're going to live in freedom. And so anything that we're living our lives according to that's not true is some level of bondage, some level of lack of freedom in our lives. Now, let me remind you of my favorite quote from Dr. Bill Winston, truth is the highest form of reality. So anything we're living our lives by that's not the truth, right, to that extent, we're living in a false reality. And life gets a whole lot easier. I hope you hear me saying this in your heart and mind sometime 20 years from now. Life gets a whole lot easier when you can see things, and more enjoyable, when you can see things as they truly are. Amen? Amen. All right. So, let's go to Psalm 8. That's enough preliminary. Let's go to Psalm number 8. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 9. Psalm number 8, verses 1 through 9. All right? And it says this, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength, because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. Silence the enemy. Satan is the enemy. And he said, silence them with audible sounds coming out of a human being's mouth. All right, are you following me? Now, this is important because we're going to go back to, if we get there, and I think we will tonight, we're going to go back to the fall of Lucifer. And we're going to look at that in a way maybe that you've never looked at it before. And hopefully see some things there that you've never seen before. But I believe, if I could give you the New Winslet International Translation of this verse, okay? There's no such thing, I'm just saying, all right? Every time a human baby is born on planet Earth and opens its mouth and cries and releases a sound, it strikes a chord of terror in the enemy's heart, in the devil's heart. Perfected praise to silence the enemy and the avenger. You have the authority to silence the devil. You have the authority to destroy the works of the devil. You may not believe that. Told you that many times. You may not believe that. The devil's hoping you don't believe that, but it's true. I pray you don't wait till you get to heaven to find out that it's true, but you start living that out and walking that out in your life on this side. And let's keep going, because he's going to get very poetic and beautiful here. When I consider your heaven, so he's still speaking to God. It's a human being, David, on earth, speaking to God. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have ordained. What is man? So there's our question, right? What is man? Not who, not why, what? The Bible certainly deals with who and why. But here we're talking about what? What is man that you visit him? If you go back to the Garden of Eden before Adam and Eve sinned, when God would come in the cool of the day, what did he want to do with them? He wanted to walk with them. He wanted to walk with them. God wants to walk with you. He wants to do life together with you. Amen. Are you following me? Discipleship is about putting a yoke on your neck that Jesus has already placed on his neck. Amen. And walking with him, doing life together with him, learning from him. Praise God. Praise God. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you've crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet. The Bible says, all created things under our feet. So angels and devils and demons are fallen angels. So guess what? Under your feet. Not a monkey on your back. Not a dark cloud hanging over your head. Come on now. Under your feet. Jesus is the head. Now we'll go to the New Testament. Jesus is the head of the body. We are the body of Christ. Come on now, say it. I'm the body of Christ. I am the body of Christ. The Bible says we are collectively the body, but we're also individual members of that body. Jesus said he would rule in his current position until the last enemy is put under his, not chin, under his feet. Put under his feet. Amen. The last enemy to go under his feet is death. Amen. Do you know there's coming a day when death, it's really not a threat to us now, but even physical death will no longer be a threat or an enemy to you and me. Put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Now, he's asking the question, what is man? And I don't know that this is the case. This is how I envision this, all right? That it's a clear night and, David is out maybe keeping his father's sheep or strumming his harp or what have you. And he's considering the vastness of the universe. He's considering the vastness of what he's looking at. And it's not that he's feeling small, even though physically he is small compared to the immensity of creation. But the tone of this goes something like, Father, you know, everything is so big and yet I seem to be so important to you. That's the tone of this. What is it about man? What is man that you want to be with us and you've given us this position and you've given us this place in your overall plan and purpose? Okay, now, stay with me. We're going somewhere, all right? So when he asked the question, what is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you visit him? Verse number 5 says, you have made him a little lower than the angels. Do you see that? Okay. Now, that happens to be, don't choke. Here comes some food you may have never tasted before from the Word of God. That happens to be an incorrect translation. In the original language of the Bible, it does not say angels. It says Elohim. And Elohim is translated everywhere else in the Bible as God. So what it literally says, what is man that you are mindful of him? Think about him, set your minds upon him. In another place he says, your thoughts towards us are only precious. What is it about man? What is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you visit him? For you've made him a little lower than yourself. That's what he's saying. You've made him a little lower than himself. Now, again, this tends to make people nervous. I'm not trying to make you nervous. And listen, the easiest thing for me to do would be just to not teach this. Okay? It's sad the number of people who love me and think I'm the greatest pastor since sliced bread until I teach something like this, and then, buddy, they're out of Heritage, man. Them folks down there, they're dangerous. That preacher down there, he don't know what he's talking about. Okay, again, there's a reason for this, right? There's a reason for this because Satan never wants you to come to terms with what you are. Amen. What is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you visit him, and you've made him a little lower than Elohim, than angels, crowned him with glory and honor. Okay? Now, let's look at multiple translations that have come after this, a particular one. This is the New King James. King James, New King James, very similar in this. Here's the God Word translation. You've made him a little lower than yourself. You've crowned him with glory and honor. Here's the New Living Translation. You have made them man a only you have made them only a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. Holman Christian Standard Bible. You made him a little lower than God and crowned him with glory and honor. The Revised Standard Version. Yet thou hast made him little less than God and dost crown him with glory and honor. Some of you are like, I'm boring you. Don't come on now. Listen, I'm telling you straight up. There are certain things the devil never wants you to understand. And this is why religion fights this so hard. This is why people like me who try to teach people these things get labeled as heretics and extremists and all of these things. I'm reading to you from the Bible, okay? And I'm trying to show it to you in multiple translations. And there's a reason why we need to recognize this, we need to understand this, all right? Because a lot of people think of themselves as peons, as nobodies. Remember, we talked about the trivialization of man? That, you know, we're just a dust in the wind, waves tossed on the ocean. Are you following me? The devil is the one who wants you to think of yourself like that. He is a liar. When God made you, he made you in his image and in his likeness, and he made you just a little bit less than himself. Okay? Again, as if you'll stay with me and let me show you this, you're going to see why it's important for us to come to terms with this. Here's the Young's literal translation. And causest him to lack a little of Godhead. Now, a literal translation of the Bible is very difficult to read, but it's extremely accurate. Okay? And causest him to lack a little of Godhead, and with honor and majesty compassest him. The New Revised Standard Version. Yet you made him a little lower than God and crowned him with glory and honor. Here's one of my favorites. The Message Translation. Then I look at my micro self and wonder, why do you bother with us? Why take a second look our way? Yet we've so narrowly missed being gods, bright with Eden's dawn light. Okay? Now, we know that God is eternal. Are you with me? There has never been a time when there was not God, and there will never be a time when there will not be God. God is eternal. He is without beginning and he's without ending. He is uncreated. Are you following me? And when we say God, we're talking about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They have always been and they will always be. Angels are created beings. God created angels. And he created angels not just to serve himself. We know that they do, and we know that they have. We know, for example, that there is an angel called the angel of the Lord. And sometimes people way overthink that. Can I tell you what that means? That's the Lord's angel. That's his right-hand man, so to speak. Or he's not a man, but you understand that's his right-hand angel. Are you following me? It'd be like somebody who, you know, had an assistant, may have a big staff, but then they have, we can say it this way, that the angel of the Lord is the angel that is Jesus' personal assistant. Amen. We know that angels have rank and file. And we know that demons have rank and file. Amen. All right. So we know that angels are created beings. And we also know that one of the main reasons God created angels was to serve you and me. To serve you and me. I got verses on this. I'll get to them in a minute. Let's get to them right now. Thank you, Lord. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Do you not know that we shall judge angels, how much more things that pertain to this life? Just keep looking straight ahead if you were confused by this. But when a human being leaves this earth by way of death, they do not go to heaven to become an angel, nor do they go to hell to become a demon. Angels are a completely different species, if you will, if you use that term loosely, of being than human beings. And angels were created by God, among other things, to serve human beings. Amen. To serve human beings. Let me show it to you in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. Speaking of angels, are they not all? So even the angel of the Lord, Jesus' personal assistant angel, right? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? That's you and me. We are the heirs of salvation. So God created angels not just to serve himself, but he created angels to serve us. Okay? Now, we know that God created angels before he created us. We don't know how long. And part of the conversation that bled over into the beginning of this class was, you know, what happened to planet Earth? And how did it go from something God created good to something that was in total chaos? Some theorize that it was when Lucifer fell. Different ideas about all that. Again, I'm not here to teach on those things tonight, and I'm not trying to tease you with that. But what we know is that there was a time in eternal history when it was only God and angels. Meaning God was number one, and because all we know that existed other than God was angels, that put angels in a number two position to God's number one. Are you following me? Okay. Let me ask you something. Have you ever heard a preacher talk about the devil being mad at you? The devil try out to get you. That the devil only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Anybody ever heard any of that? When I was a little kid hearing that stuff, I'm like, I remember thinking, you know, what have I ever done to him? I'm like, why is he upset with me? What, you know, just naive and I understand and ignorant and all that stuff, but still, it didn't make sense to me that somebody would hate my guts that I've never done anything to. Okay? All right, so stay with me. So we see then that this was the order as we know it before the creation of man. Yes? Okay? Now, when God created man, it changed the order. Now, this is the new order. It's no longer God and angels. Now it's God, man, angels. Yes? So do you see why I have a problem with this? As much as I appreciate the King James and New King James versions of the Bible, do you see why I have such a problem with them translating man's a little lower than God into man's a little lower than angels? It's not what it says, and it's not what it means. But why? Why is it so important that we get this order correct? I'm glad you asked, okay? So when we speak of the love that God has for you, the grace that he has shown to you, the suffering Jesus endured for you, the glory that has been given to you, okay? Are you with me? You know what the Bible says about that in 1 Peter chapter 2? It says these are things that angels long to look into, right? Now let me try to break that down for you. Have you ever had a friend, maybe a good friend, who was involved in a romantic relationship with somebody that you felt like didn't deserve him or her? Let's say it that way. Are you with me? Let me see if I can say it another way. It's like, let's just be real. Can we just be real?
Yeah.
Can we just be real?
Please.
Maybe you never say it, but in your mind you're thinking, I simply do not see what she sees in him.
Right.
You don't get it, right?
Right.
I mean, he's rude to her. He doesn't take a bath. He's, you know, it's whatever, you know. And you just like, and he walks in the room and she just swoons, you know. And you're back there going, I don't get it. Okay? All right. So that's another New Wesley International translation of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12, okay? Is that angels don't get it, right? Because think about it now for a minute. Again, the love that he has for us, the grace that he's shown to us, the suffering he endured for us, the glory that he gave to us. while the majority of human beings on planet Earth are waving the middle finger of their life in his face. And angels are like, don't get this. Okay? Now, when it says we'll judge them one day, I used to read that and I used to think, man, judge no angels. See, we think judge means to condemn. I think part of us judging angels is that we're going to realize one day how much angels have helped us. Amen. How many times we thought we were lucky and it had nothing to do with luck. It had to do with divine intervention from your guardian angel. It was assigned to you, not just at birth. There's a man who went to heaven and the Lord revealed to him, his angel revealed to him that he was assigned to him at conception. Are you following me? Amen. And so, I think we will judge them to acknowledge what they have done for us in our lives to help us. Okay? All right. Now, again, why is it important for us to understand these things and press against what I believe is confusion and misunderstanding and an absence of truth? Well, this, I think, helps answer the question why Satan is so angry with us. Okay? Now, let's go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, and we'll begin at verse number 12. Okay, you still good? You still hanging in here with me, right? All right, everybody awake? Everybody all right? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. All right, get you some coffee if you're getting sleepy. You don't want to miss this, all right? Isaiah 14, verse number 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you were cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, okay, this is very important because this reveals to us Satan. Well, we call him Satan or the devil, but before he became Satan and the devil, he was Lucifer. He was one of the archangels in heaven. Now, there may be 1,000 archangels, but by process of deduction, okay, we have 3 archangels mentioned in the scriptures: Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer. You follow me? And we know that Gabriel and Michael, again, seem to be over messaging angels and warring angels. And we know Lucifer led the worship in heaven. He was over the worshiping, if you will, angels. You still with me? Amen. And we know from the book of Revelation that when Lucifer fell, the Bible says he took 1/3 of the angels with him. So it seems to be there's 3 divisions, 3 archangels. Again, based on what we know from the scriptures with Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. So Lucifer was a big deal. As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about him. We're not going to maybe get into all these verses, but he walked on the coals of fire in front of the throne of God. There's an altar of fire in front of the throne of God, and Lucifer would walk on those coals. You ever seen somebody influenced by demonic spirits walk barefooted on hot coals? Because again, that's what Lucifer did in heaven. And the Bible says that he had pipes built into himself. And so when somebody can really sing, we say, man, that dude's got a set of pipes, okay? So he was like a living, breathing, if you will, instrument. And we also, the Bible identifies you and me as instruments in God's hands, okay? But literally, his very being brought forth worship to God. And he was also covered in beautiful stones. And so imagine for a moment this beautiful being created by God to lead worship in heaven, walking on the coals of fire in front of the altar of God, the glory of God radiating forth from the throne of God, refracting off of all those stones. Are you following me? Light hitting all those beautiful stones. I mean, he was something. I'm just going to tell you. He was something. Beautiful. Amazing. One of the most beautiful things that God had ever created. But now watch this. See, This is what we've been told. And you judge for yourself after I present the scriptures to you now. This is what we've been told. We've been told that one day Lucifer got so full of himself that he decided he was going to be God. That he was going to take over. And are you right? That's what I heard. That's what I was told my whole life. Okay. Well, let's look very carefully at what he actually said in his heart. Verse 13. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Okay? Not above God. Above the stars of God. Okay? Now, I know it's easy for us at this point to go like into outer space and think physical stars. But the Bible identifies human offspring as stars. So I believe, stay with me, I know this would be flimsy if we didn't have more. I believe what he said in his heart was, I will exalt my throne above mankind. Okay? I believe Lucifer's undoing was not he refused to serve God per se, but he didn't want to serve you. As long as it was just him and God, he was cool with it. But now God's creating a new being. And this one is going to be so much like God that it's going to almost be God. Are you following me? And Lucifer catches wind of this. And he basically says, hold on a second, God. I have no problem serving you. But I'm not taking a demotion here. I'll serve you, but I will not serve human beings or whatever we're going to call them, right? And this is what had him or caused him to be ejected from his position and place and stripped of his glory in heaven. You say, I don't know about that, Pastor Mark. Stay with me. So notice what else he says. I will also, verse 13, sit on the mountain of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. Anybody know what that place is called? That's Zion. That's Mount Zion. And anybody know what that place and who that place is reserved for? You and me. You and me. How about this one? I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Who has been created in the image and likeness of God? We have. Are you seeing this? Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. All right? So, what did he say? I will exalt my throne above your throne. Not God's throne, your throne, my throne. And when Satan was ejected from heaven and came to the ground, I believe that was earth, he landed here. This will change your life if you understand it. He landed here more determined than ever to make you serve him. To exalt his throne over you. To become a ruler over you. He didn't give up on that just because he lost his place in heaven. He became more determined. Now, guess what? You read the Bible, it don't take you long to figure out that God created us for a very high place and we fell from that place also. God created us to rule this world and this created universe together with him. And we rebelled against him and fell from that high and lofty position. So what did he do? He sent prophets, and we killed them. He sent all these people to try to love us and help us. He gave us the law, and we broke it. He made a covenant with us. And we'll have a class on covenant, at least one class on covenant. He made the covenant with Abraham, but remember, and all of Abraham's descendants, but remember, right before Abraham entered that covenant, he fell into a deep sleep. And then Jesus came and walked between the sacrifices as Abraham's representative. Because what happens if you break a covenant? If you break a covenant, the same thing that was done to those animals that were split in half is done to you. But God knew that his descendants, that Abraham's descendants, would not keep the covenant. He didn't want them to suffer. So Jesus came and walked between the cut animals as Abraham's representative, so that when Abraham's representatives broke the covenant, Jesus would be the one that would pay the price for it. Are you following me now? I'm trying to help you see something here. Now, compare all that he's done for us, even sent his son to die for us, to take away our sin, just to give us the opportunity to come back to him without any guarantee any single one of us ever would. Are you still with me? We have no record that he ever even invited Lucifer to, if he wanted to come back and work it out. Are you seeing the difference there? The vast difference between, you know, let's go back to what is man? That when the most beautiful angel you ever created fell, you never even tried to work it out with him. What is man? That when we fail, you did everything up to and including dying for us just to give us the opportunity to come back. With no guarantee that we would. Are y'all really thinking, or am I gone too far for you? Are you okay? Are you good? All right, praise God. Let me just hold on here just a second. All right. So we were created in the image and likeness of God. We'll talk about that in a minute. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Look at this, verse 16. Those who see you, speaking of not his form of his glory, but now that he's been stripped and fallen, those who see you will gaze at you. I'm talking about Satan now. And consider you saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? Again, I want to make sure you're picking up on what he's saying here, what the tone of this is, all right? There's coming a day when the devil will be revealed for who and what he truly is. Okay? And when people see him, they're going to be shocked. Let me try to put it in my own words, can I? I picture him in the bottom of a 55-gallon drum, and I don't know why. But people are going to look over there at him, and he's going to be all shriveled up and down there and all scrawny in terror. And people are going to look down there at the devil. People say, Pastor Mark, he might hear you. I want him to hear me. I want him to hear me, not because I'm full of myself, because I'm full of the Spirit of the Lord. Same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Listen to me, please. I'm not trying to make you mad. If you're afraid of the devil, it's a surefire sign. You don't know what you are, and you don't know who you are. Be more appropriate to be afraid of flea might give you some kind of flea bitis or something, right? I'm just telling you.
I don't know where that came from.
Going to walk past him and look at him in amazement. Shock. Going to say something like this. You mean that's all there is to that punk? He's the one that caused this right here, caused all the problems. He destroyed nations. He wouldn't let people go from their chains of darkness. Going to be shocked. All right, think with me for a minute. What would happen on planet Earth tomorrow if not a single human being listened to or responded to anything the devil said? He couldn't do a thing. He couldn't do a thing. He cannot mess up our lives without our cooperation. When he wanted to destroy the Garden of Eden, because God made that place beautiful and perfect, he carved a niche, if you will, out of the chaos, out of the turmoil, out of the nothing productive, nothing in order. God carved out the Garden of Eden, put Adam and Eve in there, and then empowered them to fill up the whole earth. In other words, to make the whole world look like the garden spot that God created. The whole world did not look like the Garden of Eden. If you read it carefully, the Garden of Eden had specific dimensions. God spoke into the darkness, and he said, "Let there be light." The entrance of his word gives light. He spoke into the darkness. He said, "Let there be light." It didn't vanquish the darkness. It pushed back the darkness and created an envelope, if you will, of light. And then he created that garden. And then he put Adam and Eve in that garden. And he told them to replenish the earth. If something needs to be replenished, that tells me it has at some point been plentiful. Or, pardon the misuse of the language, it has been plenished before. Are you following me? Again, I'm saying there's no biblical evidence for this. He didn't tell them, you know, see what you can do with this place. No, he told them, fill it up again. Right? Fill it up again. Man, there's a lot there. But then, of course, what? Rebelled. But let's go back to that garden. It was perfect. God said it was good. Then he said it was very good. This church, this building, the address is 4215 Tove Boulevard. When God said it was good, he said it was Tove. And it means more than just something that's good. The definition of that word is this long. But let's just say it was perfect, okay? The devil wanted to mess it up. But he couldn't. He did not have the ability, power. He did not have the authority, the authorization. So what did he do? He deceived the two people who did have the ability, who did have the authority to mess it up for him. Are you seeing this? Same is true with your life. He doesn't have the power or the authority to mess up your life unless he can trick you into cooperating with him. Unless he can convince you that you're a nobody, that you're less than, that you're not even lovable, that you can't do anything right, that God's mad at you. Are you following? People don't want you. What, again, that's, see, he's working on that because he's got to get you feeling inferior in order to exalt his throne over you. Are you following me? Okay, very, very important. Very, very important. So this is why the Bible says things like, give no place to the devil. Give no place to the devil. What does that mean? Well, there are certain things that we do that open a door that allow the devil access to our lives. I'm not sure some of you are enjoying this one tonight. Are y'all okay?
Yes, sir.
I know it's resistance, it's spiritual resistance, it's pushback. Maybe not from necessarily anybody in the room. I'm not calling you the devil, but do you understand, like, if you were the devil, you would not want anybody to know this. Are you following me? He would not want anybody to know this. Would not want anybody to believe this. Would not want anybody to hear this. Because again, as long as he can convince us that he's mighty and we're measly, that he's everything and we're nothing, that he's the big bad boogeyman and we can't do nothing about it, well, that works to his advantage.
Right.
Now, when we get to learning about salvation, one of the things the Bible says about our salvation, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Somebody asked me a question, I think it was Lindsay, asked me the question. We talked about the different factors of our salvation identifying with the completed work of Jesus. And one of those, the Bible says that we've been raised up together and seated together with Jesus in the heavenly places. Wow. Okay, that's me and you. That's me and you. All right? Now, let's go to James chapter 1. We've talked about this verse, but I don't think we've looked at it. If we have, we'll look at it again. It says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and does not and is not a doer, He's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man, King James Version says, what manner of man he was. So, you know, I say it all the time, I'll say it again, you don't need a mirror to see your hand. You need a mirror to see what you cannot see without one. And so now what we're doing, see, is we're looking in the mirror. Who would have thunk it? I mean, I'm saying, it's kind of like David, Psalm, this question. It's like, what is man? What is it? What are we that you would want to come and visit us? What is it about us? What are we that would cause you to think about us all the time? Wow. The Bible says he sings over you while you sleep at night. He writes your name in the palm of his hand. He wrote a book about your life before you ever lived a single day. He has more than a 100-year plan for your life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. All right, let's keep going now. All right. So, do you see now why knowing what we are is important? What we are is important. If we never get the what right, you'll never get the who or the why right. It's like a multifunction or multi-step math problem. If you miscalculate on the first process, you'll never get the final answer correct, no matter how hard you try. So this is why the devil works so hard to convince us that we are nothing, that we are no more than a higher form. How about this one? Do you realize how many people on planet Earth believe that we somehow created ourselves and we're nothing more than just a higher form of primate? That we're animals? Are you following me? That's what, I mean, that's the best answer man could come up with. And if you really think about it, it's ridiculous.
But
yeah, there you go. All right, I'm going to warn you again. A lot of people stumble out of the gate and never clear the first hurdle. But we're going to start answering this question based upon what we've just said. What is man? What are we? Number one, man is a God-class being. Man is a God-class being. Okay? We know from Scripture there are different classes of beings. Man is in the God class. Not the primate class. Not just mammals. Are you following me? God is a diverse God. When you look at creation, just the insect world alone that God created, it's fascinating. Fascinating. Yet, when he created you and me, he didn't create us the way he created all those other living things. He created those things for you and me to enjoy. He created those things for you and me to look at and study and experience with the intention that every bit of that would reveal something else to us about him, his greatness, his eternal being, his eternal power. All right? So we say man is a God-class being. What do we mean by that? Let's go to the mirror. Let's take a look. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image. If you look carefully or listening carefully, you see that God uses plural pronouns. He did not say, let me make man in my, but he said, let us make man in our image. We know that God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. A three yet one God. According in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Okay? So let's talk about image and likeness. Image and likeness means to look the way God looks and to function the way God functions. Okay? To look the way God looks and to function the way God functions. When you look at the body plan of living things, from microscopic living things to some of the angels that we have described in the Bible, there are all kinds of living things that look all kinds of different ways. But when God created you and me, He created us to look like Him and to operate or function like Him. Let me try to explain to you what I mean by that. We have a right hand and a left hand with four fingers and a thumb on each. Okay? We have that because God has a right hand, a left hand, four fingers and a thumb on each. Two eyes, one nose, one mouth, two ears. That may sound like common to you, but look at insects that have multiple eyes. Look at angels that have eyes all the way around their head. Again, we're not talking about science fiction now. We're talking about things we know both in the created world as well as biblically in the spirit world. God has two eyes. He has a nose. He can smell. He can taste. He has teeth. He has breath. He has ears. He has a neck. He has legs. He has feet. He has a hip. He has a backside, and Moses saw it. Amen. Are you following me now?
Yeah.
So when God created us, He created us in His image and His likeness to look the way He looks. This is why God doesn't want graven images of Himself. He doesn't want to be represented in wood or stone or metal, because He's not a wood or stone or metal God. He is a living, breathing God, and He wants to be represented. He wants His image to be carried in a living, breathing being, you and me.
Amen.
Now, when we say that, did I hear some question?
I just said that's so beautiful.
It's amazing, isn't it?
When you think about worshiping, like worshiping God with your words and with your lifestyle and your music, like it is absolutely beautiful.
How about
so beautiful.
And Lindsay, what you're on to right there is, notice when Lucifer fell, we have no record of there being a replacement. Mm-hmm. But who can stand before God now and worship Him? We can do that now. So that just makes the devil even more angry. My brother says there's two things the devil knows how to do: lie and make music. Consider the force for good music is on our planet, but consider the force for evil that music is on our planet. Am I right about it? Just again. So we can stand before the throne of God now and worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. From a heart that we surrendered to God and He made pure before Himself. It's a phenomenal thing. But it doesn't, listen now, it doesn't just stop. Remember that to look the way He looks and then to function the way He functions. Let's talk about emotions for a moment. We are emotional creatures. Our emotions were never meant to rule us. They were always meant to serve us and be a blessing to us. But we have the capacity to get angry because God has the capacity to get angry. We have the ability to laugh and cry and sigh, all of those because God has the ability. The full spectrum of human emotion comes from the God who created us in His image and in His likeness.
Wow.
We'll get into some of this, our emotions. Here's another when it goes to how we function. The Bible's very clear that death and life is in the power of our tongue, the words that we speak. How does God get things done? He speaks. Jesus, in Mark 11, if you believe and do not doubt in your heart, whoever says to this mountain. See, again, God created you to function the way He functions. To bind and to loose whatever you bind on earth. Bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth. Anybody remember these classes? Okay. So He created us in His image, in His likeness. To look the way He looks. To function the way He functions. All right, let's keep going now. So I'm jumping ahead to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. And that's still true today. It's not good that we be alone. He said, I will make him a helper. Key word right there, if you underline things in your Bible, comparable to him. A helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every... Before I go any further, remember, both Jesus and the Holy Spirit, you capitalize the H, identify themselves as being helpers for us as well. We think in terms of somebody being a helper, laying brick here the last few weeks, right? I was a brick mason's helper. What does that mean? I toted brick and I mixed mortar. Really, I toted brick. You got one shot to make the mortar right. If you don't make it right, the bricklayer gets mad. Too thin, too thick. Get somebody else. Are you following me? Okay. So we think of somebody being a helper as being less than or whatever. No, no, no. See, in the kingdom, helper's the highest position of all. Whew, praise God.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, here's that word again, there was not found a helper comparable to him. Meaning what? There wasn't any other creature on planet Earth comparable to Adam. Why? It's because he wasn't created like all the other creatures on planet Earth. Adam was created in the image and likeness of God. Comparable does not mean identical. Identical means the same in every detail. Spoiler alert, men and women are not the same in every detail. But they are comparable. Comparable means very similar and can be compared to one another. Okay? Are you with me? Now, if you're ahead of me, let me just go ahead and confirm what you're thinking. God made us comparable to Himself.
Amen.
Okay? I didn't demand that. It wasn't like I said to God one day, look, you either make me comparable to you or don't make me at all. He decided this. Best advice we could ever give anybody? Agree with God and agree with Him quickly. Now, again, I'm feeling a little cautious tonight, so let me just remind you that the answers to two important questions tend to make some people really nervous. How much like God are we? And how much like us was Jesus? Are you with me? People tend to draw those lines in wrong places. They do not think that we are a whole lot like God, and they don't think that Jesus, when he came to this earth as a man, was a whole lot like us. But that would be wrong. That would be incorrect. What Jesus did on this earth, he did as a man. We'll get to that in future classes. Now, this, listen to me, please. Taxonomy is something man-made. So I'm not trying to act like I'm quoting something from the scriptures here. But many years ago, I was daring to answer these questions. First and foremost, for myself. I knew what people said about it. I knew what the opinions of preachers and pastors and teachers and book writers were on this subject. I wanted to know what God said about this. How much like him am I? And how much like Jesus is us? It was us and is us. Are you following me? And in my study and meditation, the Lord led me to a subject of study called taxonomy. And this is the way we classify living things. Maybe you remember this from science class. But the list goes kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. Yes? And as the Holy Spirit brought me to this, and I thought, okay, let's just see how this works, okay? Now, I can certainly make a biblical case that me and God are in the same kingdom because he brought me into his kingdom, all right? Are you following me now?
Yeah.
Okay. So grouping together all forms of life, having certain fundamental characteristics in common, and we know there are five kingdoms, classifications. I'm not here to bore you with all this, all right? And so example, animals, plants, fungi, fungus, whatever, all right? So clearly we're in the same kingdom. So phylum is grouping together all classes of organisms that have the same body plan. Hello. So I can support that with scripture. Amen? Class, these are organisms that share a common attribute. Again, we're getting close, right? It's gone from... See, a lot of people think, you know, God is on the using this scale. God would be like the apex predator of the animal kingdom, and we're somewhere lower than the fungus growing under a rock in the rainforest somewhere. That's the disparity that a lot of people see, okay? And the devil loves it when we see it that way. So we talk about order, families really sticks out, okay, and genus. These all have to do with variations that differentiate animals from other animals. Walnuts versus hickory nuts, for example, okay? But the closest related of all living things are living things that are of the same species. Okay? Living things that are of the same species are the most comparable to one another. And the ultimate test of comparability is the ability for living organisms, wait for it, to bear one another's young. Now, anybody ahead of me yet? To bear one another's young. How much like God are we? So much like God that the Holy Spirit hovered over a teenage virgin named Mary and put the Word of God inside her uterus, and she conceived and gave birth to the Son of God. Human beings can carry God's young. Are you seeing this now? This makes a lot of people nervous. I'm trying to make you nervous. I'm just trying to help you see something here. Yeah, but Pastor Mark, well, he's God. Well, when did a puppy dog ever give birth to God's son? Are you following me here? Or for that matter, when did a puppy dog ever give birth to a human being? Are you following what I'm saying? Because maybe our best friend, man's best friend, whatever, naturally speaking. But not compatible in that way, not comparable in that way.
But a woman was that pure to carry God.
Ooh, sister.
A woman like an encourager.
Can't wait to meet her. Wow. Something else, right? So here's the thing. Compatibility is determined by comparability. I know I'm using some big words, but I'm trying to get you to see something here. Why would God do such a thing? Why would God make us just a little bit lower, a little bit less than Himself? He made us comparable to Him because He wanted us to be compatible with Him. He created us for companion. Let me throw another com word in there. He created us for companionship. He created us for community. He created us for communion. I'm hollering, I'm sorry. The greater the comparability, the greater the compatibility. Meaning the more alike two living things are, the deeper the fellowship they are capable of experiencing and enjoying with one another. She's usually off on Wednesdays, but my wife had to keep the grandkids today, so she'll be at church, but I didn't see her back there. So talk about her a little bit. Compare the fellowship my wife enjoys, and she does, with her geraniums. My wife loves flowers. She loves flowers that have been put on the clearance rack that are going in the dumpster the next day if nobody gives Lowe's a dollar for them. And she nurses them back to health. And she's got these geraniums that, I mean, the stems on them are like this big around. I actually bought her a portable greenhouse because we've been wintering them over in our dining room, which really doesn't work with company and all that stuff, right? Her mom's living with us now, and so we just didn't have the room. And so I got her a portable greenhouse. And we have geraniums in full bloom. Okay. And she's wintered them over, and she really enjoys. Okay. But compare the fellowship my wife enjoys with her geraniums to the fellowship. Now, he's passed now, but when I first wrote this, he was alive and well. The fellowship that she enjoyed, so past tense now, with her Yorkie named Colonel. Well, it's different, right? I mean, it's not the same. It's a different level of fellowship, okay? Now, compare the fellowship she enjoyed with her puppy to the fellowship she enjoys with her 2-year-old granddaughters. Compare that to the fellowship she enjoys with her 4-year-old grandson. Compare that to the fellowship she enjoys with her 7-year-old grandson. You can obviously do more with an older child than you can with a smaller one. Are you following me now? The older those grandchildren get, the more comparable they are to an adult. Therefore, the more compatible they are. Are you seeing this? Compare the fellowship that she experiences and enjoys with her grandchildren to the fellowship she enjoys with her good friends. Compare that to the fellowship she enjoys with me. Are you following me? And then compare the fellowship she enjoys with me to the fellowship she enjoys with God. And the factor in all of these levels of fellowship is comparability, which determines compatibility. The geranium can't talk. Colonel could, but not English. Contrary to what some people might think that I would say about him, but amen. He could communicate, though. I'm telling you, he could communicate. Pam's dad required 24-hour day care the last 6 years of his life. He lived with Pam and I. And Colonel would know if his sugar got low. Colonel would know before any symptom ever manifested that he had a urinary tract infection. I was teaching class at the foundry and my phone blew up. My son, I'm like, he knows where I am. Why is he calling me this time of day? I didn't answer. Phone blew up again. I kept teaching. I didn't answer it. Phone blew up again. Sometimes I can be a little slow when I'm focused on teaching. Something's going on at the house. I said, excuse me. I answered my phone. My father-in-law had passed during the night. Now watch this. Every morning, I'm just telling you this because just my dog, I was just honoring him, okay? My father-in-law's room had double doors that swung like this. It's easier to kind of get him in and out of. So every morning, he got up at a specific time. If we were slow in getting him up, he would remind us, it's time to get up, Papa. It's time to wake up, Papa. He would go to Papa's door, and he would scratch on the door. He would whimper and whine. Because when we opened that door, he would run in there. He would jump up on Papa's bed. He would do his little circles. He would lick Papa in the face, and he would snuggle in with Papa. And he would sit there, snuggle with Papa, while Pam checked his morning sugar and all those other things, right? This was the routine. All right. My wife can put geraniums on a routine. Okay, she is queen of routine. Amen. And so this particular morning, it's a little after 7. Pam had checked on my father-in-law around 3:30, 4 in the morning. He was fine. This is around 7 in the morning. Colonel's at the door whimpering. It's time. Get him up, get him up. When my wife opened the door, that dog backed up. He didn't go in. He's like, Colonel, what's wrong with you? Get in here. Every morning for years is what he's done, right? That particular morning, the door opened. He backed up. I don't know how he knew, but he knew my father-in-law wasn't with us anymore. That's intelligence. That comes from intelligence. Okay. I got to stop talking about dogs and start talking about what we need to talk about, all right? But the bottom line is the greater the comparability, the greater the compatibility. The more alike two living things are, the deeper the fellowship they are capable of experiencing and enjoying. Now, look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Let this become your new favorite verse. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful, by whom, who called you? God called you. What did he call you to? He called you into fellowship with himself. I told you before, I'll tell you again, relationship is too vague of a word. Jesus didn't bleed to death naked on the cross so we could have a relationship with God. He did that for us so we could have fellowship with him. I have a relationship with my wife, been married now for 38 years, dated 2 years, 40 years, but I also have fellowship with her. There's a different level. I have a relationship with Regions Bank also. I'm not going to bed with them tonight, though. Are you following me? Are you see what I'm saying? Okay. All right. So fellowship. But not just any fellowship. God created you and then called you into the same fellowship with himself that Jesus enjoys. Have I given you too much tonight? It's 6:36. I'm out. Praise God. We can shut it down now. I don't want to. It's important that you see this, though. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Here is how I sometimes explain the difference. My two children, they're grown now, have children of their own. But they've had some amazing friends over the years. Still have those friends, for the most part, to this day. Their friends would go on vacation with us, hang out at our house. We always wanted to be the house where all the kids came to. My daughter's got one friend's been her best friend. You know, she's like a daughter to me. Okay? But I didn't pay for Kayla's college. I mean, I bought Kayla a bunch of food. I've paid for going on vacation, all this stuff. But I didn't. So the point I'm trying to make is, my daughter's best friend, Kayla, has had fellowship with me over the years, but not the same as my son or daughter. You've been called to have the same fellowship with God the Father as Jesus. Now, in order for us to have that, God had to create us. See, y'all already saying it, right? The same fellowship with God the Father as Jesus speaks of high-level compatibility. To be just as compatible with God as Jesus, we got to be comparable. What is man? Hopefully with this, you kind of look back and see why we've done what we've done. It seems a little bit maybe like we've been scattered, but we haven't been. We've been trekking towards this the whole time. It's taken a little longer to get there. Do you see now why he paid the price for you that he paid for you? You came forth from him. Thank you, Jesus. So God created living things by speaking. He spoke to the earth. He created the plants. He spoke to the waters and created both fish and birds. And we know that fish and birds have similar body plans. And this may be a stretch to you, but the atmosphere you're breathing right now has a lot of water in it. So fish swim in water, birds fly in a much lesser concentration, but nonetheless, they also exist in a water-filled environment. He spoke to the earth again, and he created the animals. But when he created man, he spoke to himself. Are you seeing this? He brought all the other living things forth from the earth. But he didn't bring you and me forth from the earth. He spoke to himself. You say, well, so again, I know he formed us with his hands, but then that was just a container that he then filled with his life source. He breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. Adam became a living being. One translation says he became a speaking spirit, a spirit that can speak. All right, yes, no, maybe. Yes. Whoo, sweet Jesus. 5 minutes isn't enough for this, but we're going to try it, okay? Can y'all handle a little more?
Yeah.
Even if it gets a little stronger? Yep. So Psalm 82, verse 1, it says, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. So when God stands in the congregation of the mighty, guess he's talking about standing in the assembly of his people. And when God sees you and me, he doesn't see us as trivial or as weak or as pitiful. He sees us as the mighty men and women that he created us to be. God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Selah. And that means pause and think about it for a moment. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. Jesus said they're like sheep with no shepherd. What did he do? He empowered his disciples to go destroy the works of the devil, to preach deliverance, to preach freedom, to preach healing, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. Verse number 6, God still speaking. God said, I said you are gods. Now that's a lowercase g there. Okay? But this is capital G, showing you something in the mirror that the devil never wants you to see. I said you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations. Now, this verse gets the ultimate endorsement. It's endorsed by Jesus himself. Let's go to John chapter 10. I'll put it on the screen. The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone." You remember they're trying to kill Jesus for healing people on the wrong day. And Jesus says, "So before you stone me to death, would you mind telling me what are the charges? What have I done? What good work are you going to stone me for?" "It's not for a good work we stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." Now, why are they saying that he made himself God? Did Jesus ever say he was God? He did not. He said that he was the Son of God, the offspring of God. Jesus answered them, offspring being physical offspring. Now, he's the eternal uncreated, but let me. Jesus answered them, and guess what he did? He quoted Psalm 82. "Is it not written in your law, I said you are gods?" He called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken. "Do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God?" It's getting quiet. I'm not trying to drop a hammer and then send you home, but just listen to me, please. So why talk about this? A better question is, why did God put this in the Bible and then have Jesus endorse and confirm it? Not so you can go home and tell your great-grandmother that you're a god. This isn't about you walking and getting you a shirt that says I'm God worship. No, it's not talking about worshiping you, not talking about this is how God sees you. This is God speaking. He doesn't see you as pitiful and broke and measly and a nobody. I said you're gods. But notice he also said, but you're going to fall like one of the princes if you don't ever find out what you are and who you are and why you are. This is how God looks at things and how, not how we do or how religion does or how your third cousin does. And the devil tries 24/7 to get you to see yourself as an unworthy, unlovable, good-for-nothing loser. But he's a liar. This is not about you getting a t-shirt that says, I am God, nor is it about showing up and announcing it at your next family reunion. It's about seeing the way God sees, understanding the potential he says you have. He's talking about all these problems in the world and needs somebody to cooperate with him to do something about it. It's not about telling other people that you're God. It's about seeing things the way God sees them, understanding the potential he says you have. It's about being created in the image and likeness of God. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let me pray for you. Father, thank you for this time together this evening. Thank you for helping us. Father, we did a little bit of flowing, a little bit of plowing. It's okay. It's okay, Lord, we're going to some places some of us have never been before. I understand it makes some people uncomfortable. Devil, you will not steal this word. I command you to get your hands off what belongs to God. These men and women belong to God. God's word belongs to God. I belong to God. And Holy Spirit and Jesus, you are God. And so we plant this word. Father, not for pride's sake, not for boasting's sake, but for understanding's sake. Look at me for a minute. A lot of songs about us being worms and wretches and broken nobodies. I'm just a nobody trying to be somebody. Are you following me? So this is my responsibility. Are you ready? This is my responsibility. One day, every one of us is going to stand before God. He's not going to judge you based upon the potential of a worm. He's not going to look at your life and say, well, you know, compared to a worm, you did pretty good. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Your love, thank you for being here tonight. Good things coming. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your patience. If you have questions, write them down. If you come up with some questions tonight about this, write them down, and we'll start with them next week. I love